mess with the goat. You'll get the horns, then the butt. Because that's what goats do. 103.3, The Goat.
Great Scott!
The Great Scott Show.
And as they head into the final furlong, all of the other radio stations and radio hosts are left in the wake of a keen turn of speed by The Great Scott Show, the champion.
With Scott Prather.
Steal the show.
Everybody, good morning. Welcome in. It's the Great Scott Show. I'm happy to have you here for one more ride. And it's a Friday. So
Give me all you got.
Working on having my buddy Gus Catgill on as we have done every Friday. I mean, Gus has come on every Friday for 16 years now. Something like that, 15 years. I think it was in 07 when we started it, 08 maybe. He was still doing some sideline reporter for the Saints, and just kept rolling and rolling, man. But we'll talk to him, and then we'll open it up for anybody else listening at 337-269-1077. After we talk to Gus, anyone that wants to come on can. We got the Super Bowl Sunday. We're going to get into that. Cajuns' 10-game win streak came to an end last night in Hattiesburg. Second half, not as, all good streaks come to an end at some point. Still a lot of ball left to be played. We can get into that. Wild NBA trade deadline. Derek Carr, Pelicans in action tonight. Some reporting about the personal life of one Brian Kelly in Baton Rouge, and I'm hoping that, his children didn't find out certain things a certain way and all that. We'll get into all of that this morning if we have time. But I hope to hear from some of you guys, and I'm glad I get to hear from this guy one more time on this show. Gus Catgill, our Saints and Pelicans correspondent over there in the Crescent City. You've been one of the more consistent things about this show, regardless of what time I was on, whether it be at 6:30 at night, 3 o'clock in the afternoon, or 7 o'clock in the morning. So good morning, Gus. What's going on, man?
Hey, man. Good morning to you, dude. Can I still call you on Friday mornings when I walk the dog? I mean,
it depends what time it is. I may be driving my kids to school a little more in the morning. But sure. You can call me anytime. You know that. Come on.
Oh, absolutely. Well, it's always an open door in my show, dude, no matter what you do or where you're at, because always value your opinion. And I said it on my show back on Wednesday, man, when we first started meeting and chatting. So, to your listeners, one of the main reasons Scott and I became friends is because it's the only person in that building that could talk basketball and baseball with. So, I would walk into your studio after one of my, bi-hourly sportscasts and be like, dude, whatever about the NBA. I'd complain about the Cubs. You talk about your Mets. And then we go back in the building where everybody just talked football. So, I remember that so clearly.
Sure. It was the summertime. I had been there interning and then I got a job. And at some point, I don't know, I just started talking to you. You were in a different part of the building, but there were only so many people in the building at 4:30 in the morning. So at some point, you start walking around and you see me walking around with some, goofy looking orange jacket. You're like, who's this kid? Like, what is he doing here? And then I fortunately got to start doing a sports segment on Terry Davis's show. I would occasionally, I would talk about the New Orleans Hornets were still, they were in the playoffs. Like,
yep.
They were playing. It was the next season when we covered the team when they were really bad. But the season before, they were literally in the postseason. And I had, somebody, not to be named, that was in a higher position be like, you really going to talk NBA? I'm like, The team, there's a team, like, literally, like, I can see the building from this window that's about to play a playoff game. Like, of course I am. And then that season ended. He's like, you really going to talk baseball? I'm like, I mean, it's the middle of the summer, like, a little, you know. And you know me, Gus, I was always down to talk Saints, but it was fun. And I got to, you know, I mean, that was when Buddy D was still around, and I got to produce that as a fill-in on The Point After and his show a little bit. So it was fun, man. It was a different time. This medium has changed quite a bit in the last 20 years, but those were good times back then, man. Good, even though it was the, like, weird hours of the day, and we'd, you know, walk around that big building, and you had to walk through that food court that's not there anymore, and it would be like closed, and it brings me back to a time in my life where I was, you know. You don't know what you don't know. Ignorance is bliss. So I'm like, man, this is the best. Yeah. I'm going to work in the sports radio. And then you realize it's a little different than what you anticipate, you know?
Yeah. No, you should be happy to be up there at 4:30 in the morning and work till 10 o'clock and start all over again. I think what's interesting, though, and just listening to you do that, I mean, we could tell stories for days of all the different things. But I think one thing that is cool that you just brought up is how the medium's changed, how sports has changed, right? How social media has sort of changed all of that as well, man. I mean, when you and I first started talking, I don't know if you have a day like you did yesterday, right, where you're literally refreshing every tweet, you're getting information in live time, you're getting players reacting, right? I mean, I'm seeing players that got traded going, you know, posting different emojis. I mean, you're seeing reaction of Jalen Brunson, that Josh Hart, his friends coming to New York. Like, all those things are kind of cool, you know, from that aspect of it. You also, I mean, I spent part of yesterday and Wednesday's show, we were talking about it when you called in about, you know, hey, Michael Thomas liked a photo of Derek Carr in a Photoshop. I mean, that didn't exist. You know, the only time we would have ever seen a player in a uniform would be at the, you know, the press conference when a photographer would take a picture and put it in the paper. And the next day we look at it and go, oh, there it is. You know, that's what Derek Carr looks like in a Saints uniform. It wouldn't be something that you literally can just do on your phone and do that. So the medium's changed. I'd have never thought, you know, that actually what Buddy was and did kind of came full circle. I mean, he started, you know, he was in television, went to radio, he loved to write, and that's basically what you have to do now in all of the mediums, right? I mean, everybody has to, in sports that covers it, write one way, shape, or form, compose some sort of text or tweets.
You can't just go on the radio and be like, call me and let's talk about the Super Bowl. Who you got?
No, well, think about it. If anything, it's almost backwards too, right? I mean, well, you see a lot of either television or sports personalities, and then it's all three, you know, mediums. I mean, it's print, it's video, it's radio, it's everything. So, yeah, I mean, and then even in the last couple of years, you know, podcasting came up where everybody could really have a voice. You'd go to Best Buy or Amazon and get yourself a, you know, mic or two, some lighting, and you have your own show. Well, then you had to add camera to it, man. People want to see video. And then now you have guys like Pat McAfee making hundreds of millions of dollars, and it's an internet-based show. I mean, it's crazy when you think of how it is, you know. I mean, the way games are covered, people would rather prefer Manning cast than an actual game being called, you know. So,
well, at least when it's a blowout, for Scott, sure, yeah.
Scott, you're walking out, and when, you know, you're looking at it, we're about to see now – becomes the norm, and you and I talked about this a while back about games being streamed. I mean, would have never thought that years ago, right? That games from Thursday to Friday to Sunday, I mean, somebody would pay $2 billion to have the NFL ticket, but it's on YouTube. I mean, would have never thought that, right? So when you think about it, dude, it's crazy how it's changed from when you and I were talking in that office to, you know, to now on your show.
Yeah. And you mentioned that, interestingly enough, the NFL's got a $6 billion class action lawsuit over claims it limited televised games and hiked the cost of NFL Sunday ticket. You know, it has to do with, I guess, plaintiff's attorneys seeking damages for those who purchased Sunday ticket from the provider since 2011. Residential subscribers, commercial establishments. It's got a bunch of members, and I'm like, I don't I don't think you guys are going to get anything out of this. I mean, it's a contract that's going to come up, and they can move it. It's their league. Like you said, man, so much has changed, and there's so much information everywhere. I would say too much information about anything, right? Constantly in your face all the time.
I agree.
And so if you're in this medium in any way, shape, or form, you have this almost duty to constantly churn out stuff all the time. And it's like, I don't know, man, that's exhausting. You know, and if you don't have a team to do it with you or people to do it with you, I mean,
it's tough.
I respect, you know, anybody that makes a name for themselves.
You better have people with you. I mean, because that's the thing. If you're not doing it, someone else is. And it is constant. You know, and quite honestly, look, it's kind of a decision I've made, too. A lot of it, too. I mean, you and I, very similar. We love our little boys and our families and stuff like that. And I just, man, the small amount of time I have already, like, I just don't know if I want to be sitting there tweeting all day and every little thing. I'll go retweet you, Scott. Go ahead and do it. I'll just retweet you, you know, the stuff, man. I can't. I mean, I remember having a conversation a couple seasons ago, too, like when, you know, when a game's going on, like, do we have to tweet every down? You know, I mean, like, gain of two, you know. Ingram runs out of bounds. I mean, like, if he runs out of bounds on 31, the game's on the line, tweet away. You know, but I mean, it's like, it's the first drive, first play of the quarter.
Every play is
on the same row.
Yeah, every play is
tweeting
too much.
The same play.
Right. Every play is too much. You
know, I mean, I think that's a bit much.
But, yeah.
I hear you. What a day yesterday, dude, with all the news. My gosh.
That was one insane trade deadline. It's been quite a week. I mean, LeBron broke the scoring record. You had the trade deadline. And
don't forget AD pouting.
I have a theory about that, by the way. And then you've got the Super Bowl on Sunday. But let's bring up the AD thing. I mean, the NBA is such a soap opera, and a lot was made of him, you know, not really, kind of just being almost like sedated during his buddy LeBron James breaking a record, which, you know what, I mean, we make our jokes. That's a hell of a record, and LeBron, his longevity, he deserved that moment. He deserves the accolades for that. That is quite a record. It's quite a feat. We've seen, you know, LeBron, you know, kind of use his power in the past to try to trade some players on his own team. There were some running theories out there that maybe AD was talked about as maybe being traded for KD or something of that sort, that perhaps his name was involved in stuff, and that's why he was upset, which I don't know, man. I don't know why he would be as sedated as he was. It was kind of odd. I mean, AD jokes aside, I know people down here feel a certain way about him. Just, I think you can objectively say, look, that was kind of weird. That's like, he says it's one of his best friends. It's that big of a moment. And everyone's standing up when he breaks the record. Literally everyone in that arena is like watching or has a phone out. And he just sits down like, whatever. Yeah. It was odd.
So, Jay Will, you know, Jay Williams on the ESPN morning show yesterday was saying, I'm walking a dog listening to it. And he brought it up that he had been hearing, you know, that his name was floating and maybe that could be the reason why he was that. Look, that would be a very plausible explanation for what you saw. Not only that, but would also explain the heated exchange between Russell Westbrook and Darvin Ham at halftime. You know, I mean, what if at halftime, Scott, that was brought up to them? You know, I mean, it would explain why he only took 9 shots, because the game before, my man was motivated against the Pelicans, okay? And that's the thing, to your point. However we feel about it, that's all, folks, whatever. Look, objectively, that dude's a really good basketball player. And when he's healthy, he absolutely makes that team completely better. And he also, I think, is the reason they won that championship in the bubble. Not only did he hit that game, you know, clinching 3, but when you look at what he does for that team, I mean, he it was personal when he was here Saturday last week. From the All-Star snub, you know, I did think coincidentally, StatMuse, Hoop Central, you name it, every single national Twitter account oh, Zion's only played 29 games like AD, but he's a starter, and AD's a snub. I'm like, here we go. And you knew it was coming, but you saw. I mean, that guy is hard to defend. So when you see nine shots, when you see that reaction, I think it's very plausible. I mean, again, he went to L.A. to be LeBron's number one accessory. He was his Louis Vuitton, man. I mean, I still remember that first time you saw both of them together in the NBA Summer League, because that was Zion's rookie year, and you could just see, like, he was just happy as can be walking alongside. He loved, you know, being BFFs, and it has to hit you, right? I mean, because that doesn't happen or get okayed without you-know-who okaying it. That doesn't happen. So my guess is, to your point, I think at halftime they're like, hey, go out there, don't get hurt, you know, or – you know, I'm just letting you know there, you know, there are talks right now and your name's being brought up. Maybe they thought they were doing right by letting him know that, but that is a very plausible reasoning behind that. And, you know, Jay Will was in the league, probably knows a player or two. So for that to kind of get banded out there, as a working theory makes a lot of sense, but you brought it up. My man went and got a whole new basketball team, LeBron. he got a whole new starting five, some bench help, Mo Bamba. I mean,
they got some good players.
Yeah, no, look, the graph was melting down. All right, the graph was like, this is ridiculous. It's a good team. Like, Vanderbilt alone cooks us. I mean, he went down the list on how those players give the Pelicans troubles, and now they're all there. So it's about how long it takes for them to kind of, you know, gel here. But you heard LeBron say it after that game, he broke it too. In his mind, just get in. Once they're in, whether it's the play-in or whatever, then you got to beat them four times. And I think that's how almost you and I would talk about when the Pels are losing 10 straight. I think this team healthy is hard to beat. Just get in. Just get out of that play-in. You know, secure yourself at least that you have to lose four times. Just get in. And you saw even since then, when this team is remotely healthy, how much better they are.
Gus Kangel, our guest. Let's hit on the Pels, then we'll shift gears to football. Crazy trade deadline. So many players moved. I was on yesterday with my friend James Butler, and you know, my prediction as far as what the Pels would do, I've been wrong way more than I've been right, Gus. You work in this medium long enough, that's going to be the case pretty much for everyone. Otherwise, we'd just be living it up in Vegas. But I did get the Pelicans right as far as the trade goes. I told them, I said, listen, I think if they make a move, and I think they might make one, it's going to be a small move. They're not going to make a big giant. They're not going to shake up. They're not going to go. Like, I don't think they're looking at this thing as this season in a vacuum. I think they are looking at this trade deadline as part of a bigger picture beyond this season. And so don't look for them to make a move where they're giving up a bunch of key pieces or core pieces or young guys that are on great contracts like Alvarado or Najee Marshall or Dyson Daniels or Trey Murphy or Herb Jones, guys that are on great contracts that are core pieces. I'm not saying that those guys will never be traded, but I did not expect it to happen yesterday. I said they'll probably, if anything, it'll be something small, and they're going to wait until this summer to potentially make a move. And so, you know, they traded Devontae Graham, who, you know, great guy, but the one thing he was counted on to do, he hadn't been doing great. And they got another player that's maybe a slightly marginal upgrade, but more than anything, he's in the last year of his contract, so it gets you below the luxury tax. You have a little bit of wiggle room in the summer. You still have a – and so I just saw so much, like, anguish from so many Pelicans fans. Like, this franchise is a joke. They're not serious about winning. What are they doing? And, you know, they always count on health. I'm like, guys, if you think they're going to, like, mortgage a ton of the future to, like, try to win a title, like, right now this year, and I'm not suggesting that they're not going to try to win in the playoffs. Of course they are. But I think you understand, like, what I mean. Like, they weren't going to win a title this year. There were a ton of buyers at the deadline. And it would be nice to improve your roster somewhat, but there's – to me, there wasn't this, like, desperate urgency at this deadline. I think there's some more pressure this summer, and I do think, you know, you want to see the team healthy, which with this franchise, who knows if you ever will, let's be honest. But I don't know, man. I wasn't surprised by the gnashing of teeth, but I also think it's somewhat misguided. I don't think this roster's perfect by any stretch. I do think they'll be competitive. If Zion comes back healthy after the All-Star break, I do think they'll make a little noise in the playoffs. But I think their approach to the trade deadline wasn't about right now and the next couple of months. It was about the next couple of years.
100%. And I think one of the things, Scott, to me that really stood out, I mean, we were talking about it as the deadline was going on because, you know, I'm on 12-3, so we're you know, by the break, by the segment, by the guest, we're kind of going through it. And I had, you know, Jake Madison on at 12:15, Ali Costell at 1:15. We're just, okay, so what's the latest? What are we going through? And when Ali was signing off at, you know, 129, 130, that's when the Josh Richardson trade sort of hit. But I think Jake said it best, and it's what kind of I was trying to express, is that it's almost like the Saints conversation we're having, Scott. You know, where do you think you are? And I just kept coming back to, you know, everything you just said about, hey, you know, do you have this guy? Do you make this move? I mean, look, the problem that I kept having, I kept coming back to, well, where are you? You know, I mean, what kind of team are you? What is that missing piece? You and I have talked about this before too. We, you know, we're kind of referencing it when we're talking about when we would chat back in the day, you know, when we first met in the NBA. It steps, man. And now I see both sides, right? In that you can look at the Suns, and that's a team that got a lot of momentum out of the bubble, went into that following season, made it to the finals, came up short. And they haven't been back since. I mean, they were the number one seed last year. So it's not promised that you're going to get back, that you're going to be in those games. Look at the Saints. Probably one of the fair criticisms of Sean Payton is that they played in two NFC championship games with a Hall of Fame quarterback and a Hall of Fame resume. And complete control of the, you know, of the organization. And he had an awful lot in the last 3 years. Sean lost a lot of home playoff games. Like in other markets, if that's Mike McCarthy, if that's, you know, other coaches that are losing home playoff games and have a Hall of Fame quarterback, I mean, those game plans against the Vikings, I mean, just bad performances. He'd have gotten criticized, right? A little more. So, but back to what we were saying with the Pels is I don't know where you are. Why? Because unfathomably, you likely are going to have your two best players, an all-star and a possible MVP candidate in the future, not play for 2 months each during one regular season. Brandon Ingram missed 2 months, November 25th to January 25th. It was an exact 2 months. And Zion had been trying to get back, I think wanted to get back. I'm very curious tonight if he's going to be there. He was not there on Tuesday or whenever it was that they played the last game. And I was really curious about that. Wasn't that practice Wednesday? So, yeah, Tuesday when it played. We'll see. He wasn't there Wednesday. Is he there today? Is he there at OKC and the Lakers on the bench like he has been? If not, it'd be hard to not to do sort of like the AD thing that he's upset. I mean, what he's not there now because of the hamstring? It's very interesting because that's something that doesn't need to be something, but it is something, if that makes any sense to you, because there was no official update. All Willie said this week was you're not going to see the starting five. Well, this is week 5 or 6. Next week would be 6 or 7. I've lost track. The point is they're going to reevaluate after the All-Star break. So if he doesn't play the week of the All-Star break, that's 2 months. And the fact that this team is still in the playoff hunt, and I mean, when you think about that, that's literally losing, you know, when they were with the Nets, KD and Kyrie together. That's losing, you know, Steph and Clay. I mean, that's losing Jokic and Murray if you're Denver. I can't think of another team that literally will have missed their top two players for 2 months, not 2 weeks, not 2 games, not 10 days, 2 months. I mean, Scott, who am I training for? What am I doing it for? What do I need? Is it 3-point shooting? Well, the offense has reawakened because of Brandon Ingram, which is what you and I have been saying. You have to have those players back, right? Well, if Zion comes back, he adds another 25. You just got more 40 points. Your role players can go back to me. I need defenders. Well, Dyson Daniels is still hurt. Herb looks like himself. Well, I need a rim protector. Okay. But whose spot is he taking then? Who are you getting out? Well, Trey Jackson, and that's great. Somebody's got to want him. You know, I mean, I was on the stand pat because I don't know what kind of team I have. I literally don't know. As Trey Murphy said after the last game in the post-game presser, they've had 8 games completely of the starting five and 10 healthy.
Yeah, that's it. That's it. Gus Cattingill, our Saints and Pelicans correspondent. One more convo with he and I as we do every Friday. Gus, let's shift gears quickly to the Saints for a few minutes, and then I'll get your Super Bowl pick. Really, the only Saints question, Derek Carr. I mean, I have maintained, I think it's fine if he's the quarterback. I don't think it solves big problems for you. I don't think it makes you a, quote, contender. I do think it's a slight upgrade over what you've had. I would prefer if, you know, he was released in 5 days, and then you signed him. Not give up assets for it, not bring on that contract. The way they were whining and dining him in 2 whole days, this thing all feels like it is moving toward the Saints. And I don't know what the asset will be. Some say third round or others say sixth, whatever. I don't know what the asset would be. For me, mid-round draft pick, okay. It's more or less that contract and how you work it, and does it get restructured in any sort of way? That's the bigger thing to me. You lock into that, you got to shed more salary, you got to do some more things like that. Granted, you know, if they gave up a high draft pick, I'd feel totally different. I don't think that's what's going to happen. But I do think, you know, I do think they are going to trade for him. I do think he's going to be the quarterback of the Saints next year. What are you hearing over there from your sources about Derek Carr, and what do you anticipate when all the dust settles with this thing?
Yeah, I think you know, we were talking about it the last couple of weeks of, you know, what's the route they're going to go. And I've always thought, look, if they were all in and willing to have the owner meet Deshaun Watson, what would make you think they wouldn't do that now when you had a worse season? And the head coach clearly is going about his business as in trying to work with and hire people that he is very familiar with. This has a very unique, it has a very strong fingerprint, right? Of, you know what, if I'm going down this way or one way, shape, or form, these are the guys that I'm comfortable with. I mean, the new hires to his defensive staff are people he either worked with with the Raiders, which, again, he was part of creating that staff, or it's a situation where he there's familiarity, whether it's, you know, Grantham, you know, he interviewed to be the defensive coordinator here in New Orleans, and he worked with, you know, one of the other coaches, and Robinson's a good hire. Everyone says, you know, the defensive backs coach from the Cardinals that's coming over here is a great hire for that secondary. So I think you're seeing he probably thinks, look, I'm going to make sure this side of the football is a strong side of the football, and I'm going back to what I sort of know on that, and I think that's why it makes sense for him to go with a guy like Derek Carr. He drafted him. So familiarity and the same thing along the lines with Derek, where he probably feels somebody that he can communicate and trust with. Look, wherever he goes, he's going to need to learn an offense. Wherever he goes, he's going to need to, you know, win a locker room and get their respect. So I think it makes sense for his perspective to go somewhere where he's familiar, at least with the guy that calls the shots. It's a big gamble on both sides, you know. And look, the money is something that you and I have talked about and you bring up. How did they make that work? The Saints have found ways to make that work, right? And how it's restructured, how it's not. I mean, when you look at Jeremy Fowler, he was saying that part of the problem as to maybe why other teams haven't had those serious kind of discussions. In the draft conversation, it's more about the fact that he speculated that Carr doesn't want to change that contract to, what, it's 33, 43, something of that nature in the next 3 years. But, okay, so what if I sign him to a new deal to where it's more team-friendly, but he still gets his money one way, shape, or form? That makes a lot of sense for it to happen. I think that's kind of what you're going to see. But there's no doubt about it. And here's the other thing. As I said yesterday on the show, Scott, and it's something you can follow today, and you'll still follow here as well over the weekend. Has he scheduled any other visits? You know what I mean? Like, we've seen before in other free agent visits, or, you know, Sean Payton flew to Houston to try to get the defensive end. And, you know, like, did you go very far in the day without another visit is scheduled? I haven't seen anything from Rappaport or Schefter saying the Jets are scheduling a visit with Derek Carr. And remember, but the Raiders, they said you can visit with them if you agree to the compensation. So that seems to have already been done one way, shape, or form, to your point, whether it's a third or a sixth. And, I mean, if you're going to get a starting quarterback that can make plays, and look, not my words, DeMario Davis. DeMario Davis, earlier this week at the Super Bowl, said he is a game-changing quarterback. That's because he can make plays. So you get a quarterback that DeMario Davis says he's good friends with off the field, that can make plays for you for a third-round pick. I love the Hendon Hooker thing. I still think you draft him, but is he coming in and game-changing next year? No, of course not. So, look, this team believes they're a quarterback away from really competing. They think their roster is probably a little better and deeper than you and I do. It's not my team. It's not my money. So, as I've been saying this week, prove it. If you legitimately think you can compete in the NFC, that you're as good as the Eagles, you're as good as the 49ers, you're as good as those teams that are going to have to then eventually face Pat Mahomes and the Chiefs, Joe Burrow and the Bengals, because that's how I look at it, right? It's not just getting out of your division. Absolutely. Next year, you and I could probably quarterback, and, you know, at least we'll have a shot at the division. I mean, if everything else is fixed, right? But you have to then win the NFC, and then you have to go beat somebody in the AFC that has an elite quarterback. So I don't think they're there. They do, and that's how they're approaching it. Because you look at the hires, you look at the quarterback they go and get, Dennis Allen's going to go with what's familiar and what's comfortable for him if he's going down with the ship. I mean, that's the only way for me to look at it and read it. And I guess if you're a fan, you'd rather them be competitive than not. I'm all about the collapse for Caleb next year and fix everything else on your team and worry about their quarterback. But what's interesting to me is, Scott, what happens if they don't get him? What is your plan B?
You just go back to Andy Dalton, I suppose. You know, I mean, yeah, NFC South, you know, couple of balls bounce different. You know, Monday night in Tampa Bay, maybe you're in the playoffs. That's the problem. I mean, I think Derek Carr is better than what they had on the roster this year, quarterback, and maybe he's good enough to have him compete and win the worst division in football. But, you know, you're not going to be close to, contending. But it is what it is. It's why everyone has a strong opinion about it. All right, man, last thing. Who you got? Keep it simple. Eagles or Chiefs?
Chiefs.
All right. Chiefs. I'm rolling with the Eagles, even though, you know, somebody was like, isn't it kind of weird that, you know, Jalen Hurts is an underdog, is favored over Patrick Mahomes? I'm like, if you put it that way, sure. But I think up front, I just think they're that good on the O-line and D-line, and I think that's going to be the big difference maker. And part of it's, I kind of started rolling with Philly late in the season when everyone said, oh, they stink, they're not going to do anything. I'm like, they're still, in my opinion, you know, the most talented roster out there. And so I think it's going to show on Sunday. But, you know, I having said that, I don't think I'll be rooting for them. I'll probably be rooting for the Chiefs, but without any really strong hedge one way or the other. Now, if I lay down a couple apples, then, you know, that changes everything. Then I'll be really into the game. I don't know yet if I'm going to put a bet down, but if I do, you know, the rooting interest will change significantly. But look, man, I wanted to thank you for the countless hours that you have spent on this show. all for, you know, some cracklings that I would send you from time to time in the mail or when I'd come to town. Appreciate you taking me to, shoot, New Orleans Hornets games way back in the day as a media member when I was just getting started. And just being a friend all these years, dude. I know for you, you've kind of bounced around. You've done it. It's a hard job. I tell people that a lot. But I think it's a testament to you. You've been in that business as long as you have in that city. And you've got a following, man. The Sports Hangover is fun. It's a blast. And, you know, I'll always be a fan and always be a listener. And I just appreciate you and your family, man. I love you, brother. And thanks for so many endless hours coming on this show and chopping it up with me, man.
Man, of course. And it's kind of a bittersweet thing. I'm super happy for you, man, with what you're going into and the reasons you are. I mean, I completely understand. And at the same time, I am going to miss our chats, but I'm going to keep bugging you. So I'm just letting you know now. You're still going to be a part of my show one way, shape, or form, sir. So we are absolutely still going to converse and still catch up for sure, man. But enjoy the time with the family, dude. And more importantly, I absolutely have enjoyed our friendship, and it's going to continue. It's not on the show, that's all. But, nah, man, thank you so much, dude, as always.
All the best, man. We'll talk to you soon, all right?
Take care, Scott.
Thank you. That is Gus Kattengill one more time on the Great Scott Show. So many conversations on Fridays over the years, and I appreciate him. Appreciate all of you. We're going to open up phone lines after this short commercial break. We'll come back, hit more on the Super Bowl matchup coming up this Sunday. We'll talk about last night's game over at in Hattiesburg. You know, I know the women lost as well at James Madison, but we'll talk a little hoops. We'll talk about, you know, I think, unfortunately, just I think what we've seen sometimes is when you work in the sports world, and I don't mean somebody that covers sports, I mean somebody that's a coach or a player, sometimes big time life, you know, moments, decisions become public before they should. And we've seen a few examples of that this week. I'll get into that as well. But phone lines are open, 337-269-1077. If anybody wants to chime in on the show this morning, I'd love to talk to you as we talk about what happened last night in sports, what's to come this weekend, and we reminisce and reflect a little bit on the last 20 years right here. On 103.3 The GOAT, simulcast on 1420. This is The GOAT, the greatest sports talk of all time.
We don't talk trash.
There is no team in the National Football League
right now
more balanced than the Dallas Cowboys.
We chew it up and spit it back out.
103.3 The GOAT.
Into the Great Scott Show. Last one. One last ride. Phone lines are open for you, 337-269-1077. If anybody wants to get in on the show, I'd love to hear from you. Last night, Louisiana on the hardwood over in Hattiesburg. It was, you know, they had a 5-point lead at the half, but Sun Belt officials at times, more than anything, you know, Jordan Brown was kind of having his way in the first half. And in the second half, turnovers picked up a little bit. Southern Miss had a couple of big runs and were able to hit some shots, you know, from beyond the arc. And, you know, the Cajuns missed a number of shots right under the goal. And, The second half was theirs. It was a number of runs, and once they got the lead, I think it was 50-49, they never trail again. I mean, the biggest difference was the three ball. I mean, the Cajuns last night offensively, they didn't have it. They were 2 of 15 from beyond the arc. I think it was a season low for them, just overall shooting percentage. And when the shots aren't falling, man, we can break down all of the X's and O's and off all movement and screens and turnovers and all that, all we want. But when you go 24-65 from the floor, when you have a stretch where you miss 17-19, you're not going to win. You're not going to win. And that happens sometimes, right? You have nights where you're hot, you have nights where you're cold. You're in second place in the Sun Belt. You split the series with Southern Miss. You have either a 1 or 1.5 game lead over a number of teams in third place. So the bigger picture here for, I think, the basketball team is the Sun Belt Conference Tournament. Get one of those top four seeds, preferably one or two. But get one of those top seeds and go win the tournament. That ultimately is the goal, right? You want to be playing in the tournament, the NCAA tournament. But that's the first loss they've had in the year of our Lord 2023. They're 20-5, they're 10-3 in Sun Belt play. I didn't see too much panic or agony or anything like that on the timeline last night. I think most Cajun fans that have been following the team closely are pretty realistic about what happened last night and what's to come next. All right, let's head to the phone lines. Good morning. Welcome into the Great Scott Show. Hello. Hello.
Am I on?
Yeah. Chris, what's going on, man? How are you?
Oh, okay.
Crippa.
Okay, I wasn't sure if it was me or not. What's up, buddy?
How are you?
Oh, I'm doing well. Listen, as far as the basketball game last night, I did watch the whole thing. And, like what you mentioned, all their goals are still ahead. It was a hard-fought game. And it's just they were the better team. And that crowd was pretty raucous. And I envied that. That was pretty exciting. That was nice to see. But listen, about you, Scott, I just wanted to call and just give my thanks to you. Just take a moment. And, I'm not going to be long, so I want to let other people call in and chime in. But you've been a staunch pioneer for UL athletics for the past 20 years, and you've helped me get through my mornings for the past couple of years or so. And you've given me an opportunity to be a part of radio, and I thank you for that. But other than that, listen to about the Super Bowl. I heard you talking yesterday with James Butler. There's one thing you failed to mention in regards to betting last year. You talked about how your opening bet was the kickoff, the touchback. But you failed to mention that you won bets on the opening play and on the final play of that game. And I believe it was a kneel down, which was a negative rushing yard, or a kneel down to end the game, whatever it was. But on behalf of that, I'm going to be doing the exact same thing with a touchback and a kneel down to finish the game, because we won both bets last year, and hopefully we can...
Why stop now?
We can circle back. Why stop now?
Why Let's do stop it again, now? Baby. That's good, man.
But Scott, I'm gonna let people call in. Thank you for everything. God bless, and I wish you nothing but the best, buddy.
Thank you, Chris. It was very nice of you to say, man, and I appreciate you. It's been, man. I remember doing color commentary for some UL football games back when Chris was playing. There was a game at ULM. I think this was 08. Tyrell Finroy just absolutely went off, and he did that often. But he rushed for 300 or something crazy. Chris and the rest of the Cajuns' defensive front, I remember that game. Just they were able to get after the Warhawks quarterback without blitzing a lot that night. It was a big difference maker, man. It was a big difference maker. It was good stuff. But I appreciate that call, man. Appreciate that call. 337-269-1077. Jay checks in via email. He says, Southern Miss, over 8,000 in attendance last night. That you know, Crippa just said it in the call. That atmosphere in Hattiesburg last night, that was something, dude. That was something. And I know on ESPN Plus, you know, it's the home call and you're seeing the shots, but to have that kind of basketball atmosphere in the Sun Belt. And look, the one on Saturday at the Cajun Dome was awesome. It's great to see, man. It's absolutely great to see, for sure. Derek emails. He says, Scott, why do you think the Pelicans didn't do much at the trade deadline? Do you feel like they're cheap? Do I feel like they're cheap? No, I mean, you've got two max players on your team. I do know they're one of only two teams in NBA history that have never paid the luxury tax, and it happens to be the only two teams currently in the NBA that have never been to a conference finals, and it also happens to be two teams that for a few years were actually the same franchise, that being the Charlotte Hornets and the New Orleans Pelicans. The idea that Gail would never go into the luxury tax, I think that she would if this team needed to do something and were right there on the cusp of a championship. And while I love this team, while I have a future on them, and I will every year, I'll put a couple dollars down before the season, I said it yesterday. I don't think that they are in a position to win a championship this year. I think they're in a position to get healthy and make some noise in the playoffs to be fun. It'd be awesome for them to get out of the first round to do something. But I think the bigger picture here and how they went into yesterday was we're not going to overreact to other moves. You know, we're going to see what we got. We're going to see what this core does. We're going to see what happens this postseason. And then we're going to make some moves this summer. And they freed up some cap space to do that. And they're out of the luxury tax position that they would have been on. And it would have been harder to deal Devontae Graham this summer with everyone knowing, yeah, you're probably going to have to trade him anyway. They got rid of a bunch of second-round picks, and they got a player in Josh Richardson in return, and Richardson will play. You know, he's got 6 inches in height on Devontae Graham. And, you know, he's a three-point shooter, and he does some of the same things, but he's not going to be – you're not going to have to play two small guards out there in a lineup in the rotation now like you've had to do at times. You know, when you have Jose out there or Devontae and you just don't have the length defensively with two guys that are, you know, 6 foot and 5'10", regardless of what they're listed as. It's kind of the reality. 337-269-1077. We're going to take a timeout. We've got the 8 o'clock hour, one more hour to go. But before we do that, anybody catch Cam Jordan last night? I didn't watch it, but I saw clips of it. I was watching the UL game, the NFL honors. The NFL, man, they market themselves like as good as WWE. They are a marketing machine. And the idea that they have this NFL honors show and they put it in an auditorium and they have all these popular players and they have these guest speakers from the world of entertainment and sports, they just make it feel bigger. Not big enough for me to watch, but hey. And that's where they announced the MVP and the comeback player of the year and all these other awards. But Cam Jordan got called up by Kelly Clarkson and then just started singing to his former coach.
Looking good. I like that suit. All right. Saints All-Pro defensive end Cam Jordan. What are you singing? Who are you singing to?
You know, I'm singing to my old coach. Tell him, ladies.
You as a rookie, so you might think I shook me when you retired.
A coach isn't better, except sometimes on Twitter. Go on and coach away.
Hell of a great away.
You are the coach and you need it to break.
Showmanship for sure. Yeah, y'all think Cam's got a future in the media as soon as he finishes playing? Come on. We'll take a timeout. We'll come back. 8 o'clock hour of the Great Scott Show. One more hour to go. Pro Football Hall of Fame. We know who got in. Some reporting out of Baton Rouge and from the NBA yesterday that had me reflecting on, I guess, the unfortunate side of working in the world of sports at times. We'll hit on that. Super Bowl coming up Sunday. We can discuss that. NBA trade deadline. Derek Carr and more. Phone lines are open. 337-269-1077. We'll be right back right after this.
Great Scott!
The Great Scott Show.
And as they head into the final furlong, all of the other radio stations and radio hosts are left in the wake of a keen turn of speed by the Great Scott Show, the champion.
With Scott Prather.
Steal the show.
Hello, everybody, and welcome into the Great Scott Show. One more hour to go. 103.3 The GOAT, simulcast on 1420. Louisiana softball season. Number 20 Raging Cajuns begin their 2023 campaign today over at Yvette Girard Field at Lamson Park. 4:30 game today, 4:15 pregame right here on 103.3 The GOAT. Cody Juneau on the call, 4:30 first pitch against Lafayette College. They got Stephen F. Austin and Lafayette College again tomorrow, doubleheader starting at 1, and then a single game Sunday at 1 o'clock. And then they'll head over to Florida for a week of tough, good, solid competition. Yeah. Cajuns are 5 wins shy of 1,800 all-time in program history. And, you know, for someone like Yvette Girard, who went into the Louisiana Raging Cajun Hall of Fame in 2018, that began that program, some would tell you from scratch. She had some help, but, you know, playing softball out and, you know, parking lots and other players. And to see what's been built over that time that she started, and then the Low Tees, and of course Coach Glasgow has maintained there. I got my utmost respect for all of them in that program, and should be another great year. But Coach Glasgow, you know, I talked to him last week. It's a heck of a schedule, Coach. He said, "Well, you know, there's no downside to it. We can go in, we can go play all these, you know, top 15, top 10 teams early in the season." One, you see what you're made of. Two, you see what you need to work on. Three, if you win them, you put yourself in a position to maybe host a regional or a super regional. And if you don't, then you kind of know what you need to work on, and you're getting better prepared for the postseason than if you weren't playing them. He says, I don't see it. The only downside, he said, is that, you know, you lose, you know, a number of home games. You'd prefer to be able to play all of those teams at home. But they have some good teams coming home this year. But he said, we're going to continue working on bringing the best non-conference opponents we can. It's a good conversation. If you missed any of it, it's up via the Great Scott Show podcast. There are sports cliches that I don't know, I always get a little tiresome of. They kind of get accentuated in a way that it pet peeve, right? Defense wins championships. Sure it does. So does offense. So does special teams. I'm talking about football, but in any sport, so does offense, okay? But defense is the theme of the Pro Football Hall of Fame class of 2023. And, you know, I'll tell you this. Some players that Rondae Barber, Darrell Revis, DeMarcus Ware, Zach Thomas, they're all going into the Hall of Fame. Joe Thomas going into the Hall of Fame as well. First time since the AFL-NFL merger in 1970 that 4 of the maximum 5 slots in a modern era class are defensive players. Huh. Shout out defense. Ah, the league, it's all offense, it's all this. Well, these are defensive players that played in the offensive era. You know, Zach Thomas, he was kind of at the tail end of when it wasn't all just sort of predicated on the rules weren't geared as much toward offense. But certainly Revis and Barber and Ware, good for them. Good for them. Phone lines are open, 337-269-1077. Got a couple of lines lit up. Let's get to the phone lines. Good morning. Welcome into the show.
Hello, Scott.
Hey, what's up?
Hey, I just want to congratulate you and tell you the thing I'm going to miss the most about your show is your references to the Beastie Boys.
Yes, sir. You know it, man. I mean, come on.
That's what I'm talking about.
You appreciate good music. You appreciate Hall of Fame music, so I appreciate you.
Well, have a good one, buddy.
Thank you, man. Good morning. Welcome into the Great Scott Show. Hello.
Good morning, Scott. How are you?
I'm great, Mike. How are you, man?
Doing okay. Could have been better last night. And I just have a couple quick comments. I'll start with that. In the second half, when the Eagles got a little run, I thought the Cages reversed the basketball cliche. And instead of letting their offense affect their defense, their problem stopping Hasse and Pickney from outside, you know, there's a big man hitting threes, I think, affected their offense. I don't fault their effort at all. I thought it was as great as any game this year. But they shot the ball with great effort, but not necessarily great technique. When they were rushing their shots after they got behind a little bit, and I think that was the end of the game. As you said earlier, they called the NBA a miss game. Well, college basketball is like that, too. You can't go for 215 from three. But I mean, that's my comment about the game. Moving on, I want to thank you for all you've done supporting our athletic program through the years. Hope that continues with whoever your replacements are, bringing in our coaches and their AD when necessary. I'm sure the station will find a way to make that happen. And finally, congratulations on your move in life. I'm sure it will be rewarding, and I'll miss listening to you on the radio in the mornings.
Mike,
good
man,
luck once again.
I appreciate you. Appreciate your family. Appreciate your son, Ryan. And a lot of conversations over the years with you, man. I've always appreciated your knowledge of the game of basketball. So wishing you nothing but the best, man. And I appreciate you. Appreciate your kind words. And we might see you around town.
Maybe. Okay. See you at the games, I hope.
All right. Sounds good, Mike. Thank you. Mike Hebert. Ladies and gentlemen. Good morning. Welcome into the Great Scott Show. Hello.
Good morning, Scott. This is Bobby. How are you this morning, buddy?
Bobby Navarre. To what do I owe the honor?
Well, I was just calling to thank you for everything you've done for me over the past few years and to wish you all the best in the future. I don't want to take too much of your time, and I just wanted to call. And like I said, thank you for everything, you know, and giving me a lot of opportunities. And wishing you the best in the future, buddy.
Well, that's nice of you, Bobby. You can take as much time as you want. You know that. And while I got you, come on. Softball, I mean, I talked to Coach last week. You talk to him every day. You're in the booth. You're doing color. I mean, what is the expectation this year? I think we know what's going to happen today, tomorrow, and Sunday. But, boy, that trip to Florida, like, Where are we at? Is this the deepest team in program history? Like, how do you feel? What is your expectation for this year's UL softball team?
Well, I think Coach Glasgow put this team together to make a run, you know, to make a run to Oklahoma City. And, you know, it's February. So what happens in Clearwater next week is, you know, if we do really, really well, then, you know, I don't think people should get too excited, and if we don't do well, then I don't think people should get too disappointed, because it's February, and then, you know, after that Clearwater trip, you can kind of figure out who can play under those kind of circumstances and who can't, and you move forward, you know, because after Clearwater, you got a weekend against LSU, a weekend against Texas, a weekend against the Florida Gators, so it doesn't get any easier. And so you should be very well prepared for conference play. And I think Coach Glasgow, you know, looking for another conference championship and hoping to put themselves in a position to host a regional and make a run to Oklahoma City. And I think that's the expectations for this season. And this roster is really, really deep, Scott. You know, it's the deepest roster that I've seen since I've been around the program. And, you know, I'm not saying that we got a Lexi Elkins or a Narisa Myers or a Christy Ogeron on this roster, but you never know. You know, someone could emerge and become a first-team All-American. And I'm looking forward to the season, an exciting time for us. And going to be in the booth today with Cody Juno for the first time. And
it'll be fun, man. We'll be listening. And how do you feel about Hall of Famer Ashley Brignac?
How do I feel about her? Yeah, it's been a running joke between you and I for the past few years, but Ashley's a great
person.
Yeah,
she's the best, man. She's the best. Last thing, Bobby, I got to compliment you. You're a tremendous cook. Like, if you're making a Super Bowl spread, you know, I think there's the right kind of meals you want to cook, like, out at, you know, Lamson Park after a softball game, and it's probably maybe a different meal if you're at home watching a Super Bowl. So, but what's on the menu for you Sunday night?
On the menu Sunday night.
Or even if it's not, what would ideally be on the menu? Like, what would you want to cook for a Super Bowl?
Chicken sauce pecan.
Oh, man.
With green peas or corn mock soup and potato salad. And I let somebody else handle the dessert. So that's my menu. Not only for the Super Bowl, but that's my go-to.
That's kind of, yeah, that's your go-to. I've had it before. It is delicious. I got to be honest with you. It is delicious. Bobby, I appreciate you, man. All the best, my friend.
All right, buddy. We'll see you soon.
Thank you. Talking about that schedule, you keep saying Clearwater. For those that don't know, the U.S. softball team is going to a tournament in Clearwater. Not this week, but next. They'll play four teams in the top 10. Then they'll play UCF in Orlando, you know, midweek after that. They're ranked 15th. Of the seven games on the Florida road trip that they're playing, five of them are ranked in the top 10. Then you have Michigan, who's ranked in some polls, and then you got Indiana. Then you come back home and you face off against LSU twice. The weekend after that, you got Texas twice. Then you got Florida twice. And then later in the season, during spring break, they'll take on Texas A&M and Baylor back-to-back days on the road. I mean, that is quite a schedule. It's quite a schedule. Desmond emails the show. Scott had 103.3 The GOAT, by the way, for anyone that wants to get in. Desmond says, Scott, I hear you talking about defense in the Pro Football Hall of Fame. Do you think that any current players on the Saints defense could be future Hall of Famers? Maybe Cam Jordan. Maybe Cam Jordan. You know, I mean, Marshawn Lattimore's a great player. I don't think he's going to go to the Hall of Fame one day. Demario Davis is awesome, multi-time All-Pro, but he kind of became that later in his career. I think what Jordan has going for him is some longevity. I think the fact that he has 115 and a half sacks all time and he plans to play next year, he could add to it, I think is huge. I think the fact that he's been on an NFL 2010s all-decade team is huge. He's been to eight Pro Bowls. He's been an All-Pro, AP All-Pro three times. I think that plays. And I also think, and this is something I don't necessarily like about the Pro Football Hall of Fame and how it's voted on and writers from around the country and the committee and them being in a small room and deciding it. But if you're liked by the media, it does end up making a difference. It shouldn't, but it's the reason it took Terrell Owens a couple of years to get in the Hall of Fame instead of being first ballot. But Cam is very much liked by the media. And so, you know, at no point did you look at Cam Jordan during his career and say, he's the best defensive end in football. But you did look at him and say, he's one of the better ones. He's up there, maybe top five. All pro multiple times for a couple years where he's maybe second or third. And when you do that for a long period of time and you accumulate a lot of stats and you're on an all-decade team and you've been in an eight-time Pro Bowler and you've been three-time AP All-Pro, and you're liked by the media, all of that, I don't think he's first ballot by any stretch, but ultimately I do think he gets in. And I wouldn't have said that. Shoot, probably wouldn't have said that just 2 years ago. But I think that's the case now. Anyone else on the roster? I don't know, man. You know, I think Jari Evans should get it at some point. I know he's not on the current roster. What are you going to go into the Hall of Fame as? You hear that a lot with, like, football players. Not really going in as anything. It's kind of an unofficial deal. But it's not like the bust that they have in Canton have helmets on them. It's a very big thing in, like, baseball. And it's one of these arguments that gets carried over to football, but it's not really. You just kind of think of it one way or the other. I mean, there are players in the Pro Football Hall of Fame that maybe spent a year or two with the Saints, but you don't think of them as Saints. It's more of an unofficial thing. What do you really think of that player as? When you think of their career, how do you think about them and when they played? Like when you say, okay, Hall of Famer Kenny Stabler. Hall of Famer Kenny Stabler. You're not saying, oh, yeah, New Orleans Saint. No, you're thinking about his time with the Raiders. Not the Saints or the Oilers, but he's in. He's in. 16 after the hour. Appreciate the email, Desmond. You kind of got me reflecting, thinking about some defensive players for the Saints and Hall of Famers. Let's head back to the phone lines. Good morning. Welcome into the show.
Hello.
Hey.
Hey, Scott.
Hey, Dad.
Hey, I don't think I've called you for 15 years. The last time I was calling because people were saying positive things about taking steroids for athletes. And I had to jump in and say, no, steroids for athletes. You know, testosterone is just going to cause trouble down the line. And, I just wanted to call and congratulate you and tell you how proud I am of you. I'm going to miss hearing you driving to and from work. But your mom and I couldn't be prouder. I'm glad we threw a million passes back and forth back in the day when you were little. And if anybody says, did you give your son that talent? I said, no, it's mostly his mama. He takes after his mama, which is true, as you know.
Well, Dad, I appreciate you calling, man. I love you. And thank you guys for... Shoot, man, that front yard in Opelousas, we threw the ball quite a bit over and over and over and used to watch football games in your room on the TV, that old TV,
yeah,
which we thought was so big at the time. You'd be falling asleep in bed, and I'd be jumping up and down screaming.
Every time the Saints made a good play.
Any game that was on. But, no, I love you guys both, and thanks for taking me so many games and, you know.
You are so welcome, Scott. And so proud of you. God bless.
All right. Love you, Dad.
Thanks. Bye.
My parents, man. Love my parents. They are wonderful people. That salt of the earth term that gets thrown around a lot, that's my folks, man. That's my folks. Let's keep the phone calls going, man. I appreciate you guys. Good morning. Welcome into the show.
Hey.
Kyle, what's going on, man?
Well, I don't know. You tell me, where are you going? I heard a rumor.
I'm leaving radio. You know, I wrote a story last Friday announcing that, and there's actually a photo of you in that story for the record. So I don't know if you want to go read it, but there's an old picture of you with me and Jay that kind of made me laugh when I came across it.
Oh, my goodness. That's got to be must have had hair in that one.
No, you didn't have hair. I mean, you know, you had a mustache, but, you know, you didn't have hair.
Oh, I shaved. Yeah, that's back when I was shaving it by choice.
You were shaving your head. You kind of had a Mr. Clean look, but you had dreams of being Swearinger from that show Deadwood on HBO back in the day. That was the Kyle of the moment, I think, at that time.
Okay. I like Smeringen. He's all right.
Oh, come on. One time you heard me talk about Deadwood on the air years ago, and you spent like a good 5 minutes just praising that guy, talking about how you had a lot of respect for that fictional character, which it's a great show. I mean, I used to watch it back in the day. So, you know, it's one of your hundreds of calls I've taken over the years. That's actually one that stands out.
Okay. All right. So, so where what kind of work are you going to do Are you going to be in Louisiana?
I will. Yeah, no, I'll be around. I'll be here. I'll be in town, and you know, just a better fit for the family and the future and all that stuff. So it's just time, man.
Yeah,
it's just time.
Okay, so you can't mention the business.
No, I don't care. I'd prefer not to put it out. It's
okay.
You know, that's all.
I got you. I got you. Okay. Well, I guess, is the station going to survive?
Oh, yeah. The station will be around, man. It's not going to go off the air or anything. The other guys will be in, Monday morning, and still be airing a bunch of games. And, you know, they'll figure it out. It'll be all right.
All right. So I guess there's not going to be any more chances that you and I are going to be able to argue over some horrible move the Saints make. And you're going to sit there with all the other guys from New Orleans that are going to sit there and justify it and tell us how great the Saints came out by trading somebody like CeeDee Deuce for a bag of baseballs.
I didn't say that. I guess what you meant to say is I won't have to have arguments with you where I have to, like, correct you and you have tons of inaccuracies and accuse me of false things. Well, we won't have those phone calls anymore.
Right.
Where
CJ Garner Johnson ends up with more interceptions than the whole thing.
You know, I think we both agreed that was a horrible trade. I think we both agreed that was a horrible trade. One thing we didn't agree on before the season was your prediction that the Bears were going to win the NFC North. And they finished with the worst record in football.
Well, so. I mean, I knew somebody different was going to win it.
You figured it'd be a team that was the worst in the league. You know, these are the conversations I'm really going to miss, Kyle.
Well, I just pulled the team out. Pulled the team out of from where the sun don't shine.
Right,
because I figure
when you're wrong, you're just swinging for the fences. But when you're right, man, it's a grand slam.
Well, here's a prediction for you, one that you won't forget. Here's one going out the door, one that you won't forget. I don't think the NFC is going to win a Super Bowl. They might win one over the next 10 years. Okay. But I don't think the NFC will win more than one Super Bowl over the next 10 years because I don't think any team in the NFC is as good as any of the top four teams in the AFC. So there's one for you.
I like that.
It's just
10
not
years.
Happen.
I like putting a decade on. Huh? No, I like it. I like the bold predictions, man. It made things memorable.
How did all the generational quarterbacks end up in one conference and the other conference not get any except for Jalen Hurts is as close to generational. I look at Jalen Hurts as a great competitor. And, a tough-minded guy that's going to become a good football player because he wants it bad enough. But I don't think of Jalen Hurts as one of the all-time talented great quarterbacks. But when you look at these guys that came out from this generation, like let's say you had the Marino, Elway, and all of that, generation, you know, this is that next generation of great quarterbacks, except they've swung all of the rules into their favor so much that I don't see how in the world the NFC is going to be able to compete over the next 10 years.
10 years is a long time. I mean, there could be another generational quarterback that comes around at some point.
I don't know.
But, you know, to your point about Jalen Hurts, I love Jalen as well, and I love his story. But if you were just starting a franchise from scratch and you said, what player are you starting with? He's not – I mean, there are a number of quarterbacks in the AFC that you're taking before you take any in the NFC, including Jalen Hurts, and that's just a fact.
Yeah, and I mean, I just think that that's going to – you know, I think that that's going to hurt. I mean, I don't see how it doesn't affect the outcome of what happens on the football field over the next dozen years or so.
It makes the NFC more open. You get into a Super Bowl, anything's possible. I think the Eagles are going to win on Sunday. So one more disagreement as we go out the door.
Well, I sure hope not, because I took a ticket on the Chiefs back around around Thanksgiving, I guess. I got them at plus 450, so
not
I got
bad.
Them on the money line
not
at
bad.
450. So if they pull this off, I'm gonna be happy. I gotta say I think if the Chiefs are smart with the football, I think they'll win this game going away because they got too much firepower for Philadelphia to be able to keep up with them. We'll see. It'll be interesting. All right, buddy. Hey, good luck with whatever you got next in life. And it was a fun ride while it lasted. How many years was it?
20 years in this business and 18 years here.
18 years at KPL.
That's right.
Man. Well, I guess you could say you paid your dues.
You can word it however you want it, man. I pay him whenever I talk to you, for sure, Kyle. I'm gonna miss you, buddy.
Absolutely. And I make sure you pay him.
All right, dude. All the best.
Man, every time. All right, later.
Paying my dues every time I got to take a call from Kyle. I think we can all agree on that. Good morning. Welcome into the show. Hello.
Hey, Scott.
Hey, what's up?
I mean, it's tough to follow Kyle, so I'll do my best.
Yeah, man. What's going on, Josh? How are you?
I'm doing well. Listen, I just wanted to call and kind of echo sentiments from previous callers. On a personal note, well, I'll tell you what. First of all, I'll say, you've been a tremendous ambassador for the program for Lafayette. So thank you on behalf of people that went to the school and live in this community. You've done a ton for all of us really that care. So thanks for that on a personal note. You know, I don't know if radio guys realize this, but you guys, you're on the air constantly. And for people who love sports, local radio was top notch in Lafayette for a long time. One of the best markets I've ever been or listened to, and I've been all over the country. So that's a credit to the staff and Mike and everybody that was there. But you guys become, you know, it's a soundtrack of life, good, bad. When Jay stopped being on the radio, when other guys kind of moved on, you can think back on those memories and remember, because I was in college when you started. So when I think about you moving on, I go back to the early days. And I don't know, just had me reminiscing, listening to everybody call in, and thank you. So I wanted to do the same. Good luck to you. And then also appreciate you always helping us with the little podcast that we started. That was really cool for you to get us on the air and get us to grow. So
hey, y'all keep doing it, man. Y'all have, that thing has grown a ton, and y'all, it's, you know, I think it, what I liked about it was that I thought it began and it was just very earnest. It was sincere. It was just real. And you guys have put a lot of time in, man. So congrats on that, and yeah, keep it rolling, man.
For sure. And sincerely, Scott, it's been great. Just got to meet you at a guy's night out, which somehow they got to bring that thing back. That was a whole lot of fun.
Those were fun.
But that was probably, I don't know, 2008, 2010, somewhere around there. But it's been great. It's been great following you, and like I said, I hope you do great things in the next chapter. So
very nice. Thank you, Josh. Appreciate it. Very nice of him. You know, he was talking about when you listen to something, I guess, long enough, maybe it's not every day, right? Maybe it's just once a week, once a month, whatever. A sense of, I guess, he used the word comfort. And I think that's really, I guess I've been taken back by that. It's been very humbling in the last week, you know, when I wrote that I'd be leaving, the amount of people that have reached out and have been emotional, it was a little surprising. But I think it's, you know, it's some people that listen all the time and some people that maybe hadn't listened in a long time. But there's a comfort level toward, there's a comfort level for some when they go somewhere and they hear something wherever they are. You know, I mean, it used to be you couldn't listen wherever you are. When I first started here, we didn't have a stream or anything. But, you know, to hear something familiar, I think, brings a comfort level to people, regardless of what they're going through in life, that familiarity. And so I'm honored to have, you know, played a role for some of you in that word comfort. And that's been humbling and really, really nice and kind of awesome to experience here over the last week. So I appreciate you guys. Let's keep the phone calls coming. Good morning. Welcome into the Great Scott Show. Hello.
So I guess it's the, I'm not going to have anyone to talk Tecmo Super Bowl with anymore. So yes. I'm going to have to retire that.
Just DM me. I'll still do it. I was thinking about that game yesterday. Shoot, I I was thinking about it. That game comes to my mind a lot. Not even just the original Tecmo Bowl, too. Like, I was thinking of, you know, my dad called and we were talking about throwing ball in the front yard in Opelousas. I mean, I remember games in, you know, like a AFC championship game, like the Ernest Biner fumble and, you know, the Browns Broncos. And that first Tecmo Bowl, it was only the teams that were like in the playoffs that year. And that the game, those, you and I think when it comes to like old video games and old sporting events from like the late 80s, early 90s, we kind of are always, our minds kind of go to the same place. You know what I mean?
Yeah, that's what I'm gonna miss, man. You basically spoke for our generation in a sense on the air. Yeah, like I said, man, you from I'm not gonna say your age, but I think you're about 3 years younger than me. But yeah, it's a big loss, man. It's a big blow. I remember when I first called. you had the 6 o'clock show, and hey man, when I first called, man, it was around 2009. It was the year the Saints won the Super Bowl. I think it was around week 6 when I first called, and I was like, when I hung up, I was like, man, I'm at the my, because it's like I said, it's my first time talking sports. I was like, I'm at the, like, this guy's taking it serious. Like, I'm about to be serious. Like, when I call on his show, like, it's no nonsense. Like, in that sense, like, man, this guy knows his sports, you know.
Yeah.
And after that, I just started from there. It's like I said, man, it's little things, man. I remember going to work on the weekend somewhere around Highway 700, somewhere in Vermilion Parish. And I remember you and Top, man, calling a baseball game. I guess Jay was still doing basketball. And it's little things, man. I just, how you told, this is my office for the day. You know, I see your tweets. I used to love you when you called a game, man. Yeah, it's the end of an era, man. You know, I guess you're the last one. I know Bandits, but Bandits doesn't have a weekday show. I don't know, man. this is wild. Like everyone said, I wish you well, man. And I'm going to still listen, but it's not the same anymore. It's not the same anymore, man. And but you have to do what's best for you and your family. And that's all I can say, man. But thank you, Scott.
Hey, man. You're welcome.
Years.
And I appreciate you. I'll miss our conversations. And I know you're a new father, man. So enjoy all of that and all the best with that. And you got my I think you got my number, man. So hit me up sometime. We can grab a beer again.
Go ahead and text with me. Go ahead and send that on the email. Only there's a couple of things I regret, man. And Scott, hold on. Thank you for all the prizes that you know that I won.
Yeah,
that
you would often win the contest, the trivia contests.
only thing, because I was suspended from Twitter, I couldn't get those Pelican tickets. I used to have those giveaways.
Oh yeah,
yeah, that's real, man. It's little stuff like that, man. You know what I mean? It's, I don't know what to say, Scott. I'm just rambling now. But look, I want to get the other callers and hey, Scott, one more thing, man. You know what? That's another thing I respect. A lot of times I would email you stuff between the show, and it was stuff I couldn't really say, and that wasn't profanity, but it was just, and you always kept it real. You never brought it up on the air. You never mentioned it. And we just act like it didn't happen, you know? And I thought that was beautiful in a sense. But I used to say,
I appreciate it, man. I do. I appreciate it. It's fun having those combos, and you know, you always made me think about stuff, and I think, like to think I did the same with you. It was good, man. You know, it's
oh yeah, like it was great, man. It was great, beautiful, man. And like I said, once again, I wish you and your family well, man.
Thanks so much, Jay.
Thank you, man.
All the best.
Thank you.
Appreciate that very, very much. Let's keep it going. Good morning. Welcome into the show. Hello.
What's up, Scott?
What's going on?
Man, I tell you what a run, huh?
Jerry. Duty. It's Duty. First time I met Duty, he was in high school. He was on a trip with the UL football team down on South Beach.
Yeah, actually, I want to say I was a freshman in college that year. I was a student manager for the football team.
This was in 2007. That's when that was.
Yeah, that was my freshman year of college, and you were just still kind of getting your feet wet into the, like, I know you were in the radio business, but I think you would have, you had gotten your own show by then, but you were still trying to get your feet wet, you know, trying to get acclimated and grow your own brand. And I just wanted to say, you know, to your point about me, you know, I had just moved to Lafayette when I started listening to you guys on the radio, and seeing you grow and seeing you what you've grown into as a radio personality in Lafayette has been outstanding. And it's just crazy how what time does. Today it's your last show, and you know, when you talked about how I first met you as a college freshman, and here I am today. I just dropped my daughter off at daycare with a career just like you, and seeing what you were able to accomplish on the airwaves. And I just wanted to congratulate you on the run. It's been great listening to you all these years. And, man, I can't tell you, I wish you the best of luck in your new endeavors. And I know if you can bring that same passion and that same acumen to what you brought to radio, whatever your new career will be, you're going to have a lot of success there, buddy. So I just wanted to call and congratulate you, and just wish you all the best. And we'll keep in touch. We will definitely keep in touch for sure.
Thank you, Duty, man. All the best. Your wonderful parents as well. I know your wife and your kids. So all the best, man. We'll see you down the road. Thank you.
Yes, sir. Talk to you later, Scott.
All right. Appreciate that, man. We'll take a couple of more calls, and then I got to hit a commercial break. So I ask you guys to keep it moving, especially this next guy. Good morning, Coach. What's going on, Coach Mitch? How are you?
Hey, pretty good, Scott. How you doing this morning?
I'm good.
Scott, I'm going to make this short. You know, I didn't get a chance to get to know you as long as a lot of the callers, but for the time that we've had together, I've got to learn a lot from you and the sports broadcasting, and you've given out a lot of information. You've made a lot of friends, I've learned, you know, through listening over the radio. And all I would say to you is, remember all of them for as long as you can, so that you'll always have something to motivate you. You'll continue on in life, and you probably won't hear from them as often, but they'll still be a part of you. When you think about them, you'll remember them. You'll remember the conversation. Scott, I want to leave you with this. During the pandemic, that was a time that tested you and a lot of others. I hope you remember that, so that way, no matter what else comes in life, no matter how tough it gets out there, because we're aging, we're not as young as we once was, and things that come toward us now, they're a little tougher because the body and the mind doesn't function like it once did when we were younger. Remember the times of the pandemic. I remember when I called you one time, you almost thought that I had passed away because I hadn't called in a long time.
I got worried about you. I got worried about you. We didn't hear from you for a few months.
And that was awesome. And that was awesome. That reminded me of how important shows like our sports shows are here in the local area. And, you know, the name that they've taken on, the GOAT, I think it fits. It fits because the program has been around a long time, has had a lot of success and a lot of people, Jay and all of them, that have worked here for a long time and put in a lot of work into this.
I appreciate it, Coach. Thank you, man.
It's time to go.
Yep.
But just remember us all, and we'll remember you. All
Thank
the
you.
Best. Later.
Thank you. All right, we're going to take two more calls. I got two of you on hold. Hang tight. We'll get to you. And then we'll take a break. You guys sit tight. Let's head back to the phone lines. Good morning. Welcome in. Hey, Richard, I think that's Scott, you, man. Go ahead, buddy.
Hey, good morning, brother. Didn't know that. Look, man, I'll keep it quick. I know you're in a hurry here, man. Look, I just want to wish you the best and let you know you brought a first-class professional approach to sports radio in Acadiana. You really impacted a lot of people, myself included. It's bittersweet, man. Listened to you for a long time, buddy, and I've known you for a long time, so obviously you know how to reach me. Just wanted to call in and you know, just send the love, brother. Best of luck, and I just really appreciate everything you did for the community.
Well, thank you, Richard, and thanks for your friendship, and, you know, shoot, man, we were going
100%.
We went to Saints games back in the late 80s, so we've known each other a long time, man, but I appreciate you, and you know, I love you and your family, and certainly what you guys have done for this community. So all the best, man.
All right, brother. You be good.
Thank you. All right, one more before the break. Good morning. Welcome into the show. Hello.
Hey, Scott. How's it going, man?
Kirk, man, how are you?
Oh, it's a melancholy Friday. You know, hopefully, you know, we're not going to have too many more of those, but it's a melancholy Friday. Just called to, you know, chat for the, I'll try and be quick, but I ain't going to be quick. I don't know if you remember the very first time I had a contact with the station when you had first gotten there. Jay was having some kind of an anniversary celebration or something like that, 15 years, 10 years, 20 years or something like that, and you had really just started. So I emailed and I said, next to my wife, Jay was the longest relationship that I had ever had because it had been on like 10, 15, 20, however long, and it got real quiet. And then all of a sudden I heard you go, dude, that's kind of creepy. And Jay's response to Jay's response to you was, dude, that's Kirk. You'll appreciate, don't worry about it. It's Kirk.
I don't remember that.
But, well, yeah. Here we are 18 years later, and for the last 18 years, for the most part, I've spent my mornings with Missy and with you. So, you know, that shows you how big a part of our lives you guys have really become. For me, I recently reached a major life milestone, had a birthday, my 60th birthday. This whole thing, you leaving 18 years ago, I was 42 years old. And since then, you've gotten married. You've had three kids. Correct me if I'm wrong.
Yeah, no, that's right. Three kids.
I've had my first grandchild. And, you know, turning 60 has been tough for me. It's been really, really tough for me. However, the last 18 years, I can't think of another way. While it has been tough for me, one of the things that I definitely would not lose was that opportunity to get to work first thing in the morning and put on your show. That's one of the things that, of all the things I've had a difficult time dealing with in the last couple of weeks, the last couple of months about turning 60, this is one of the things, and I've told you and Jay that over the course of the last couple of years. Y'all, radio, you and Jay in particular, Stevie P, Ian have played an incredible part of me being able to maintain a certain sense of normalcy in my life. And for that, I'm always going to be eternally grateful. Scott, the last 18 years have been a joyride for me. I'm going to miss you like hell. And whatever it is that you do, I know you're going to be successful. I hope that whatever it is, that the Prathers stay and you're still an anchor in this community, because I think y'all have a lot to give. If you end up leaving the area, wherever it is that you go is going to benefit from having y'all as a part of its community. I just hope that that community is Lafayette and y'all stay here. Love you, brother. Good luck in whatever it is that you do. And again, thank you for the last 18 years. Have a good one.
Thank you, Kirk. That means a lot, man. Means a lot. Love you too. And thank you for letting me, you know, play that role in your life. And it's been an honor, man. You guys have been far too kind this morning. Far too kind. I don't know that I deserve it, but I really appreciate it. We'll take a timeout. We'll come back and I'll say goodbye. Don't go anywhere. It's the Great Scott Show. This is 103.3 The GOAT. Simulcast on 1420. It's the GOAT. The greatest sports talk of all time.
Thirsty for intelligent sports talk? Sounds like you need a little Gatorade. 103.3 The GOAT. The greatest sports talk of all time.
Welcome back into the Great Scott Show. Final segment here. A lot of emails, I can't get to all of them. Just know that I got them. And I appreciate you guys very much. Very much. I think we got time for one quick phone call before I say a couple of things. So we'll take it quickly. Good morning. Welcome into the show.
Well, what an honor. I get to tell one of my good buddies goodbye for the final time, I guess. Man, it's hard to believe that after 18 years of listening to you, we get to, you know, I guess we've been privileged for a long time, Scott. The quality of work that you guys have done, but especially you over the years, and the entertainment, the people that you've brought onto your show is equal or even, in, you know, more than you hear on even some national radio shows. So, buddy, you're going to be missed. You brought a professionalism and, you know, just so much to your shows and every single day. And I could tell you, I'm, you know, just thinking about it, man. I mean, it sucks to know that you're not going to be on the air come Monday. But been listening to you for a long time. We love you and wish you the best, buddy.
Jeff, thank you, man. I know you've listened since the beginning. And, you know, you were listening to this station long before I got here. But you were always kind and supportive, man. And I appreciate that. I really do.
Well, best of luck to you in your new endeavors, and hopefully we'll keep in touch, and we'll have a cold one again one day soon.
Sounds good, man.
All right, take care.
Thank you, Jeff. Appreciate that call. That's going to do it for phone calls today. I do see a few lines lit up, but we're going to have to close that out because I want to make sure that I, you know, say a couple of things before I get out of here. You know, I wrote a long story last Friday on our website, and gosh, man, thanked a lot of people, and probably a lot more I could have thanked that weren't in there. But, you know, I stand here, or sit here, I just sat down, kind of stand sometimes in the studio, but I'm just feeling grateful, man. I'm feeling an overwhelming sense of gratitude to everybody. To Steve Peliquin, man, thank you for hiring me here years ago, you know, to start out in the business, just trying to get in somewhere, just trying to do something, you know, working multiple jobs in New Orleans and moving back here and getting on the air after Katrina and, you know, spending the last 18 years with you guys on these airwaves has been one of the great joys in my life. It's been fun. You know, there's just a lot more about this job than just the show. And that part of it, you know, some of the other aspects of it, I'm not going to miss that much. But when it comes to this show and this microphone and speaking to you guys on a regular basis, that is what I'm going to miss. I can't even really put into words how much I'm going to miss it. But, you know, to Steve for hiring me and Mike Grimsley for giving me that opportunity here and Jay and everybody that's come through the station over the years, people I've hired, Ryan, Greg, Norm, so many, and others that have been here and some that have passed away. And it's a lot happens in 18 years, man. A lot happens. I knew I had been in it for a while when, you know, players on the UL baseball team. I mean, it was Hayden Cantrell a couple of years ago. Shout out Hayden. He was like, oh, yeah, no, I know who you are, man. That's the first time I was meeting him. He was a freshman in his media days. Like, yeah, no, I've been listening to you, you know, since I was like 5 years old. I was like, I guess I have been doing this for a little while. And so I'm just feeling grateful. Grateful to my parents, grateful to my wife, my children, my sisters, my close friends, and just so many others. You know, to work closely with UL over the years and for them to always be, you know, they were always grateful. And I appreciated that too. You know, I always felt like there was a part of me that could have done more, that could have done a better job. But at the end of the day, I'm just glad I had the opportunity to do this. And to all you guys, especially to everybody that's ever listened, to everybody that's ever called, to everybody that's ever emailed, to everybody that's ever messaged me, to everybody that has ever read any piece of content that I put up on the website, to anyone that has ever spent your time. Time is the most valuable commodity we have. Money will come and go long before, you know, you were here or long after you're gone. Things will come and go. The one thing you can't buy more of in life is time. And I need to take more time and do what's best for my family and do what's best for my loved ones. But time is, it's ticking. No one's ever beaten old man time. And to be able to say that I did sports radio for 20 years and I worked in sports media for the same company for 18 years, which is so rare in this profession, I'm beyond grateful. And the ability to exit this job on my own terms, I'm beyond grateful. And for you, all of you, wherever you are right now, spending some of the most valuable commodity we have here, time, and spending that with me. I'm grateful. I am humbled beyond words. And I love you all very, very much. Thank you. Thank you, God. Thank you to all of you. Use your time wisely. Choose love, not labels. Love you guys. That's it for the Great Scott Show. I'm Scott Prather.